Our scripture reading is Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 11 and going to verse 26. You'll find it on page 1073 in your pew Bible. It's a passage filled with irony. The first irony deals with the Pharisees and the opponents of Jesus because they come to him and they demand a sign from him. If you want us to believe that you're the Messiah, you're going to have to give us a sign. Now, the irony is chapters 1 to 7. What has he been doing this whole time? He has just fed the 4,000 with a small number of loaves and fishes. He previously healed a deaf man. Just work your way back from chapter 8. It's one miracle after another, and it reminds us that unbelief never has enough proof. The issue is not ultimately about proof. The issue is a desire to lord it over the Lord, and that's what they're doing. We want you to establish it on our terms, and we'll tell you when you've met the criteria. And Jesus warns the disciples against, this is verse 15, the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. It's like leaven that flows through the bread. He says, don't let that attitude infect you. And it's especially Christian scholars and Christian churches that should not let the worldly outlook, the worldly way of determining success, infect them. We're to be biblical in response to God. That's the first irony. The second irony is what happens then. Jesus is giving this instruction to the disciples, and they say in verse 16, what they care about is they're hungry. Jesus is giving them instruction. What do you think? What's for lunch? Now, this would argue, for those of us with experience, that the disciples may have been teenagers at the time. If they weren't, our teenagers are certainly that way. Can I eat and then nap? That's the priorities. But the big issue is that they're just worldly. And Jesus is trying to instruct them, and they just can't get above their fleshly nature and the folly. And they're worried, who's going to feed us? This after Jesus has just performed two spectacular miracles, which show that he is able to meet our needs. And he makes that point with them. He's somewhat dismayed with them. Did you not remember when I fed the 5,000? There were 12 baskets full left. I fed the 4,000. There were 7 baskets full. Why are you still anxious about that? You know, the irony extends to us, though, too. It's not just these disciples at this point in the ministry. We too, is it not true we have a tendency to leave the church service without applying the sermon at all to our lives and acting and reacting and responding and thinking as if we had not heard, if we had not seen in the Word of God what we had seen? Oh, we have a great need of the Lord's continuing work in our life. And that's what the miracle in verses 22 to 26 shows. They arrive in Bethsaida. There's a man who's blind. Jesus heals him of his blindness, but not completely. And he asks him, what do you see? And the man makes a fairly enigmatic statement. He says, I see men as trees walking. He sees blur. His vision is blurry, and he is not able to see clearly. And so Jesus, verse 25, lays his hands on him again, and he gives him the clear sight. Now, that is not teaching a fundamental two-stage structure of salvation. Some have taken that. Well, first you're justified, and you continue living a worldly life, and then sometimes later you get a second gift. That's not the structure of it. He's just saying that we need an ongoing work of grace in our lives. We need Jesus to meet with us and to come to us again and again. We don't just go to Jesus to be saved. We then walk with Jesus and are continuing to be saved, and he opens our eyes. Ultimately, we begin hearing and thinking and looking through eyes that are awake to who he is. Wouldn't that be the greatest Christmas gift for us? That we really began looking upon the world as if what we believed about Jesus was actually true. Well, he'll do that work. He does not give up on us. Let's give ear then to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 11. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now they'd forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000. How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored. He saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.